righty, welcome aboard. It's Bear Facts and Fishtails. Mark and Larry here on playoff weekend. Beautiful Sunday night. At least for the Packers. What do you say, Lawrence? Did you get through yesterday all right?
Huh? Game's not over yet.
No. If it was anything like Kansas City today, buried 24 to nothing and come back and win it. I forget what the heck the score was, but it was unbelievable. I think they've got an offensive line.
What was the final score on that?
I don't even remember. It was 51. They beat them, Texans, 51 to 31, I believe.
The Texans won that game?
No. Kansas City won it. They were down 24 to nothing.
Well, I know they were down 51 to 31, I think, the last time I looked at the game.
Yeah, that was the final score. But, well.
You know, I'm done with football now.
Well, yeah. I know.
You know.
Well,
you I know. I'm done. And I could be a little bit happier if this game turns out the way I want it to. That's on now. But, you know, let live and let live, Mark, huh? Leave the Green Bay Packers have their day.
Yeah, again.
Yeah.
Right.
No, don't. I'm not going to give them that much.
I know, but there is magic in the land of the cheese.
Yeah, the final was 31-51.
It was. Okay.
Yeah, Chiefs took it.
Anyway,
yeah,
what a game.
I checked in at the last minute.
What a game.
Well, anyway.
Yeah, it was. You're right. We're done.
Until next year. We lost our offensive coordinator, which some of us probably say goodbye.
Where did he go?
He went to the Browns. I can't believe he would take that job.
Okay, let's start right there.
Yeah.
Which job, given the option, would you work for Jerry Jones or take the job with the Cleveland Browns?
I honest to God would not work for either one of them. That's just my own personal opinion. Of the two, I kind of like Jerry in a way. Kind of in a way, you know what I mean? But, yeah. Anyway.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, know what? You know, obviously, you got to thank him for doing a great job for us while he was here. I think we're better than we were before we had him in that position. Or, no, I think we're better today, you know, learning a few things from him. He was a... He was a decent coach. We just didn't have a line. You know,
he was a good kid.
Yeah. Our line didn't do anything favorable to Cousins nor Cook. I mean, that's how it is.
Well, sometimes you're up against a much more rested team than you are, who happen to be very, very good. They're great linebackers. Yeah. So I don't think it mattered much who was coaching or – We just were not going to win.
We played
yesterday
like sausages. We were not the same team from the week before.
They were limp. I mean, it was too big of a deal. Excuses. It's the way it is. If you don't fish in a top seed, if you don't finish high,
it's
you're
going
to be punished in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's just the way it goes.
And this is a young team that's very, very good.
Yep, absolutely.
And that's the way it is, you know.
Yep.
So. Thanks. You know, San Francisco, I still wouldn't live out in your city with needles everywhere. There you go. I got my kick in there.
Yeah. There'll be a nice little powerhouse for a while. They've got things going, and so does Kansas City, and, you know, it's just...
I want to throw a little politics at you. We got a city out there, you can't use paper, you can't use plastic straws, but you dump all the needles in the ocean. It's a true fact, folks. Fact.
Structure.
All the needles that they sweep off the street go in the ocean, but you can't use plastic. That's the kind of city you live in out there, boys.
Well, I don't know what to tell you there.
Well, that's the end of my political statement for tonight.
Yeah. Oh, well, it continues. It continues and goes on. Anyhow, we want to thank the folks at Sinanco Productions for... providing the Sportsman Showdown at River Center, which concluded today. And I'm sure we'll have some callers field some questions as far as what they might have seen or questions as to Well, what do you think and opinions and whatever? A lot of product, I heard. So that's good.
I hope it was well attended. I'm sure it was.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
So that's good. So the phone number here is 763-450-0100. Gets you right into the Bob Radio Network. And, it's all good.
I got to tell you my fishing story.
You got one.
Well, if you want to call it that, you might want to call it a rant. On Monday, if you remember, I said I was going to drive over the Lake of the Woods, right?
And did you?
And so I did. And I went out of Morris Point, where I normally go out of, and got on the road. And as you're driving out, I'm alone, and I don't have a plow, and I'm looking for a spot where I can pull off the road, right? And I want to get out to the deepest water I can get to in my truck.
Mm.
Now, of course, that means I drive all the way to the end of the road, which I almost did. And on the way, I have my GPS set up. I wanted to get in 34 feet of water, but I couldn't get deeper than 30 on the road, all right? So I see a spot when I get real close to the end of the road that I know if I drive into a set of tracks, Mark,
yep,
I won't get stuck. I can see there's only like 3, 4, or 5 inches of snow. And it went off the road about 30 yards. Now, that isn't as far as I want it to be off the road. But, again, I don't want to get stuck.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm alone. And not that I can't shovel out, folks. I just don't want to get stuck. So I drive as far as his tracks go and a little bit farther. And then I think, it looked like there was a drift ahead of me. You know, Mark, you know, you're driving on the ice. You know, you don't want to drive into a heavy drift.
Nope.
So I stop and I get out and I'm starting to unload. Pretty soon a pickup truck with a plow and a big fish house pulls up where I went in. And I'm not set up yet. I'm outside starting setup.
Right.
And he says, are you going to set your fish house up in my tracks? And I just stood there, and I just exploded. What the hell are you talking about? How in the hell am I supposed to know these are your tracks? You weren't even here. Right? I mean, what else are you going to say?
Yeah.
He said, well, I didn't mean it that way. I said, then why did you say it? No, I'm not going to move. I'm here now. Anyway, I went ahead and happened. He moved over about 100 yards, and he used his plow because he had a plow, and he set his fish house up there. So can you believe, number one, that he even bothered to stop and tell me that?
Yep.
You know, I mean, so it kind of ruined my day. And then to make worse.
You know, other thing, Laird, not to interrupt, but, you know, there's not a lot of water up there to fish either.
Yeah, no. Right?
The only two guys on Lake of the Woods right now in your area are both looking for 34 feet of water, too. You know, I just thought I'd throw that out.
And it's flat bottom. I mean, there's no structure out there. I mean, it'd be different. No, it wouldn't be different.
No.
You know, no matter if I was on a spot.
Right,
okay?
But there's just the two of you.
So I'm ticked off. I mean, this guy was a total idiot. So now to make matters worse.
Wait a minute. I got to play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Did he ask you how deep it is there? Come on. That would have taken you way over the top.
To another level.
Yeah, I know, but I just didn't want you to forget that part of the story if it existed.
No.
Okay.
Well, I actually sometimes use that in my commercial, if you notice once in a while.
Well, Go ahead. Continue now.
So anyway, now remember, folks, I wanted to be further off the road because, you know, God forbid there's a lot of traffic. But it was a Monday, so I thought it won't be much traffic.
Right. So I'll just fish in this guy's tracks.
Right. So okay. I set up and I'm fishing. I'm fishing a half an hour, and the guy next to me is still plowing.
Oh, yeah.
He's got to plow every inch of snow for 50,000 yards to bank up against his fish house. So I got a half hour, my first half hour, he's not that far away. He's plowing. So, well, okay, I got to live with that. I mean, what the hell? You know, I can't go out there and holler at him. I mean, you know.
No, because you're by yourself.
The guy from the resort comes out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he made a pass with his shovel, with a snowblower, right? You know, and it's real. You know how loud they are. And he turned around and made another pass and went back. Now, he's not putting a berm up on my side. On Lake of the Woods, they usually put the berm up on only one side of the road,
yep,
unless they have to, so that people can don't have a berm that pull off on the side, right?
Got it.
So he went back and forth. I'd say 10 or 15 minutes he's plowing. And all of a sudden it's 20 minutes. He keeps coming back. He's not taking very much. He plowed back and forth for at least 35 or 40 minutes.
He was building an airstrip.
I don't know what.
No, somebody else is coming.
Taking much.
So his buddies are coming, and they're going to land, Larry.
Oh, my God. So, no, it's an hour or more into my day,
yeah,
and I still haven't had a single fish come into my river. Now, remember.
Were you surprised?
It's a 10-2 deal, right? I mean, my deal is it. Let me just tell you this, folks. After an hour and a half without a fish coming in and a stupid snowplow and everything else, I packed up and went home. I was not in a good mood.
No. No.
If you're going to Lake of the Woods, if you're just going to make a one-trip, day trip, make sure it's all day, early to late. I don't think they're biting really good in that area I was in anyway, but I know they're not biting in the middle of the day. And the next time I go up there, I will take my snowmobile and get out as far as I can and then drive my snowmobile off to the side someplace where no one can hear me.
Imagine.
So that's it.
Just imagine that.
That was my one day, my one trip of the week.
You ever go to that igloo bar on Lake of the Woods?
No, I would never go to that.
Does it get a little
bar
crazy?
maybe when I was younger, I might have went in that igloo bar. No. I've never been in it. I'm not even sure what resort has it.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
Yeah, I think it's further west. The name will come to me later on when I don't need to bring it up because that's how my memory works. And then I'll interrupt Mark in a conversation and tell you guys where it is.
Zippel Bay?
Zippel Bay!
There you go.
I think that's it. So anyway, Mark, that's it. Of course, the weather's been kind of chilly. Nobody's fishing or up on, hardly anybody's been out the last few days.
Yeah.
Because it's been quite chilly.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as it goes, as the world turns for Larry Bowling, you know, I can't imagine. How does that happen, though? It happens to many people over the years. It's like, okay, there's somebody who's out there. I think I'll go out there.
Yeah.
You know, you're on my tracks. Where do you even start with that?
You just don't. You're just like I was. I was stunned.
Befuddled.
I wanted to fight. I'm sorry. I wanted to.
The snow was melting under your feet as we speak.
Yeah. I honest to God was hoping. And there was two of them. I was actually hoping. They'd walk over and start.
No,
something.
You dislocate your shoulder again. You dislocate your
they
shoulder.
They were both. Those two guys were also seniors. Mark.
Were they? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Which makes it worse because a senior should just say, you know, forget it. What the hell, you know? I would never ever pull up on a guy and start fishing next to him. You know me.
No, I know. I hear you.
And you know, he's got, like you pointed out, 9,000 more acres within sight. And he's got a plow.
No, it's comical. It's comical. You know, you could spend an hour on stories such as this. You know, we've talked about it. But there's a difference between being befuddled or being just absolutely blown away at the audacity. And there was that time with Butch Furtman when I went on Lake Superior, went up to the Apostle Islands. Mm-hmm. And Butch says, yeah, we're going to take the snowmobiles out here and we'll set up. And we'll drop down and we'll fish for lake trout. We were fishing for trout. And I go, oh, yeah, that's fine. That's just great. So we set up and we're jigging away. And all of a sudden, the sun is starting to come up. and these guys closer to shore are waving their arms and flipping us off and yelling at us, and we're the only other guys out here. What did we do, Butch? He goes, I don't know. And then these guys, they didn't feel that they had our attention, so they came over in snowmobiles and started yelling at us for screwing up their chum line. Huh? Now, you guys can't fish where you're fishing. Because don't you know about the current that flows around and banks off these islands here, and it flows and it turns and it comes towards shore, and we're fishing down here where the break is? And I was speechless.
I'm speechless. No.
No, I was. And Butch is the nicest guy walking the face of the earth. Would never say boo to anybody. And Butch goes, well, I'm sorry, we didn't know we were disrupting your fishing. You guys can go now. He was done. And I'm still sitting there. And still today, it's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard of. You know, and we've been in a lot of situations, buddy, over the years.
Yeah, we've seen it.
But some of them, that guy, you were in his tracks.
Oh. You and I were into a, remember the guy who I stood up and says, you're not fishing here? You had just caught a really nice bass.
Yeah.
In Spring Park.
Oh,
on
yeah.
On one of our spots.
Yes.
All right. And this guy pulls up, pulls up and puts his trolling motor down, and he's coming right in there.
Coming
and he's
at
ready
us.
To cast.
Right.
He's ready to cast right in the spot.
Yep.
And I says, what the hell? I said, what are you doing? You know, I didn't say help, folks. I probably used a different word.
Yeah, that's all you need to know. Yeah, okay.
And he says, I'm going to cast here. And I said, no, you're not.
No, you're not.
You're not going to cast. And, of course, he didn't because the tone of my voice was.
Yeah, it was.
I think Mark was so dumbfounded.
He was speechless. Those types of things just absolutely blow me away.
I know.
It's the audacity. You know, oh, yeah, there's a guy. You know, it's like, well, what? Yeah. There's only multiple acres behind you and around you. All right, with that, we're going to take a short little pause, Bear Facts and Fish Tales. Mark and Larry here on a beautiful sunny night, and we want to let you know Paul Fabian is going to be on at 7:30, and we're going to talk about salmon fishing on and what's going on in the world of salmon on Lake Michigan, and where Paul has been guiding for a long time and knows a ton about the fisheries and what's going on over there, and he's got some things to share with us again, Larry. He's always a good call. And a great guy. He's been working hard in the industry for a lot of years. So, all right, with that, we're going to take a short pause. We'll be right back.
A night full of the important stuff. Bob Outdoors keeps trolling along with more Bear Facts and Fish Tales next.
Here's an important ice fishing announcement from icefishmn.com. With all the bad weather, you can still go ice fishing in premium sleeper ice houses on good ice in the Brainerd Lakes area. Icefishmn.com has 2017 or newer ice houses available for rental right now. In addition, icefishmn.com is available to provide transportation to your premium ice house too. Reserve now at icefishmn.com. You can still ice fish in Minnesota with icefishmn.com.
Here's Bollig for Vexilar.
I've been with Vexilar, for longer than they've been, back in the late 70s, I believe. But anyway, they're the pioneer when it comes to ice fishing. They've been in business for over 60 years. People involved with people catch more fish because of the Vexilar locator. Now, I had my first FL8, which is the first three-color flasher on the market up here back in 1989, and it still works, by the way. I've talked about it before. And the three-color flasher was a great advance over just the one-color flasher because it was much easier to see. Now I have the FLX28, which is the top of their line. It has an automatic depth range. When you turn it on, you drop the transducer in the water, and it's automatically gives you a digital readout on it. It has all kinds of power. It's so easy on the eyes. I can adjust my color selection to the primary color, which is white, instead of red, which is, to me, a lot easier to pick up. And a lot of men are colorblind to the color red. Now, the best way to see all the Vexilar products is to go online at Vexilar.com. They have so many different packages, and you go online, and then if the local store that you operate at doesn't have their product, you can go on, you can buy it online if you have to, okay? The accessories that are available, as an example, the glow ring is a little system of lights. You can drop your jig into it, and it'll automatically charge it up in just a few seconds, so it'll last a long time. You can get another unit called a DD100, which would give your older model Vexilar flasher a digital readout, as well as rest as underwater cameras, sonar phones, K-drill, if you're interested in the new way of drilling the hole, all that. They're a local company. You can give them a call at 952-884-5291. That's down in Bloomington, Minnesota. Or go online to look at their products, Vexilar, V-E-X-I-L-A-R.com. Do not leave home without your Vexilar.
The start of a brand new year is a great time to make changes and improvements. So if you've got cracked teeth, missing teeth, or loose old wobbly dentures, then ImplantMiracle.com invites you to get a brand new smile and save a lot of money with beautiful, top-quality, long-lasting dental implants, as low as $2,499 per tooth. Other places charge $4,000, $5,000, even $6,000 per tooth. But at ImplantMiracle.com, our price is as low as $24.99 per tooth. That's a great deal. Plus, we offer free consultations, free standard x-rays, and easy payment options to fit your budget. So as we begin a brand new year, do something nice for yourself by not overpaying for dental implants. Instead, come to ImplantMiracle.com, the local dental office where implants are very affordable. For more information, see our website, ImplantMiracle.com. That's ImplantMiracle.com.
You don't have to go all the way to Ireland to enjoy an authentic Irish atmosphere. Drake O'Neill's Irish American Pub has all the charm of the Emerald Isle right here in Minnesota. Just west of Highway 101 in Otsego, Drake's is open 7 days a week. They have 42 Irish whiskeys and all your favorite Irish beers, including Drake's Irish Red. And the highest quality, handcrafted, made-to-order pub foods like shepherd's pie, fish and chips, patty melts, and pub fries. And you gotta try their bangers and mash. Best of all, there are no strangers here, only friends you haven't met yet. Drake O'Neill's Irish American Pub, a place for good taste.
Let's get back to the important stuff. Bear facts and fishtails. Join the conversation by calling 763-450-0100 right now.
All right, we're back. Bear facts and fishtails, Mark and Larry, 763-450-0100. And real quickly, we've got our good buddy Jack Baker talking about the youth ice programs. And where are you hanging your hat, Jack?
I am sitting on top of the world on the Rocky Mountains, West Yellowstone, Montana. Just came off Lake Hebgen.
Whoa, you're coming in clear, too.
Good reception. It was a fantastic day. We were chasing rainbows, cuts, and cutbows today, and it was great. We had 57 teams in the tournament, but a first for us. Yeah. We had a team from Florida and a team from Arizona.
In an ice fishing derby.
In an ice fishing tournament.
Yeah,
and they had a blast. They're already signed up to come next year. And we've got some Canadians that come down from Calgary to do it. And the Floridians challenged the Canadians that they were going to bring more teams out of Florida than they could bring out of Canada. So we're going to see how that works.
Well, that'll keep Bolick busy up in International Falls at the Barter.
I think that's great that Florida's involved in this.
Absolutely. But we had a great kids camp. Gave out 42 rods, so we had 42 kids on the ice up here.
Nice.
And Saturday morning we ran our high school qualifier, and a team out of Utah came up.
Okay.
They beat the boys out of Idaho and Montana, so a couple of kids out of Utah are going to come to the national championship and fish for scholarships. So it's been a great weekend.
Oh, that's wonderful. Good for you, Jack. Now, where's the next event going to be held?
Okoboji, We're down in Iowa next weekend.
Okay.
Boy, so we'll be really... down on that clear water chasing the gills.
Yeah. Well, that'll be fun.
There was a nice article in Outdoor News this week. Did you see that, Jack? Did you see that?
Yep, they started talking about that high school, and the phone's been ringing, which is very appreciative. We're going to get more kids out there.
That's good. That's really good. You know, it's ice fishing is certainly a fun thing to get involved with, and I'm sure along with the spirit of the other activities going on with youth programs, that this one's going to ignite in its own way.
It is. You know, when you're talking high school, everybody thinks it's a formal thing through school.
Yeah.
It can be at the club level. It mm-hmm. can be a coach or a parent that just wants the kids out there. Just get a hold of us, and we'll get them involved.
Yeah.
You know, it's what's going to drive us. It's what keeps us going.
Good. Well, throw some information or where we people could seek out information on what's going on with NAF, what it was, NAIFC.com,
yep.
Is that right?
And you are correct, NAIFC.com, or just watch the NAIFC Facebook page, and we just keep posting away and showing pictures and,
all right, good.
You know, showing the kids and showing what they're catching. And
good.
We got a few crazy ones coming up out of Bozeman up to the up the Gallatin Pass. We had bighorn sheep. If we were brave enough, we could have slapped them on the butt, but I don't think that was a bright idea.
Good call. How fun. Well, we appreciate you taking time to call in, Jack, and looking forward to hearing what's going on Okoboji next week, how that works out. That should be fun. All right. You take care, Jack.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Travel night, safe. Good night. Great cause. That's good. How fun. Getting an organization that's in support of ice fishing for kids.
I can't believe that. I wonder if these. I mean, I can't believe Florida's got to send guys up here.
They
got
to think we're crazy.
No, I mean, I think it's great. Yeah. I mean, and most of the kids that grow up in Minnesota that fish in the summer, they know about ice fishing, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just part of being up north.
It's our culture. It is.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
know, most folks that have been born and raised here end up getting exposed to it one way or another. Through family or friend or just by happenstance. But you get to taste it a time or two. Well, we've got our buddy, Mr. Paul Fabian, on the line. Paul, how you doing?
Good, Mark. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
Larry coached a game as best as he could yesterday, Paul, and that's all we'll say.
Yeah. Yeah, don't bring it up.
Oh, well, what's going on in your world, bud? It's good. And tell the folks, you know, what you're involved in, how it works, and what may transpire here in a few weeks to come, because we may have you on for another discussion, of course.
Well, what we've been involved in is Wisconsin Lakeshore Business Association. That's a group of people, being charter boat captains, businesses, average fishermen, anyone involved with the salmon fishery over in Wisconsin.
Okay.
We have regained two lobbyists, and the lobbyists have been going to town and working for us and been doing a fine job. This year, he just came back about 3 weeks ago, and they wound up getting us for 2020, 2021, and 2022. They're going to have 1,200,000 salmon planted.
Wow.
And then the steelhead have gone up. I think there's like 450,000 steelhead. Boho's have gone up. All the numbers have gone up on there. And this lobbyist group, as you and I have talked before, mm-hmm. They've done a fine job for us. If you don't have somebody in there shouting for you, it is just tough business. And we're more than happy with what they've done for us.
So there's enough fish for any guy from Minnesota that's never been out there before. He's not going to hurt the fishery by coming out and taking a few home. Is that what you're trying to tell us?
I'm trying to tell you that'll be the case for sure. They're getting them in there this year, like I said. It'll be within the next 4 years, but absolutely.
Wonderful.
This fishery we have over here is not a catch-and-release fishery.
Mm-hmm.
That is not a catch-and-release. They're stocked, et cetera. They're made right. to catch. They're made to eat.
But if you want to release them, you can.
Absolutely.
Folks. It's not
absolutely.
Against the law. Yeah, it ain't like the carp deal where you can't release them.
Well, that's well. Now let's back up because you were on the show with us last year and you've been on before. But how did you get started with all this, Paul? Because you're a local guy here from the cities.
Well, I am, but I spend summers over there. I go over there. I'm over there from May until September.
Okay.
I stay over there completely. I have a lot of friends over there that are charter boat captains, et cetera. Everybody got together, like 3 years ago. Everyone was devastated with what was going on, and the DNR was coming up with they're not going to plant fish because there's not enough bait fish, this and that, blah, blah, blah. Finally, we got together. We said, well, we've got to do something. We've got to get organized. So a bunch of charter boat guys, Tom Kleiman's the president over there. He's out of Kewaunee.
Mm-hmm.
Got together. We threw in money, the seed, and we've done fundraisers since. And we now have two lobbyists working for us. And they've done a great job. And that's how we got involved with it. I mean, it was just a point. If we didn't do it, nobody else was going to.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, a lot of the business associations over there, hotels, everyone, that's looking, for business, bait shops, et cetera, anyone and everyone involved has decided to pitch in, and it's just turned out tremendously for us. The DNR over there has listened to our lobbyists and have gone to town for us, and they backed off on the non-stocking. And they were actually going to not upgrade everything else, and our guys got them to upgrade $300,000 this year alone on the salmon species, which is enormous.
That's huge.
I've got a question. I'm kind of dumbfounded because the last few years you've been on, and you've had good fishing down for a long time. I mean, ups and downs. But I never heard that there was we know the alewife population dropped out how many years ago already? How many years have they been down to nothing?
That's the thing, Larry. They said they've dropped off, but they haven't. DNR was going out into the same particular area in the lake, dropping their nets each year, and whatever came up, they'd say, well, it was this, it was that, with alewives. Well, alewives, like everything else, they move around.
Yep.
I mean, we had three years ago, I've seen as many alewives as I've seen back in the late 70s and 80s where, they were all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
the DNR just wasn't on, top of the whole deal.
Yeah, well, if the fishing was good, you've been there, you've been going over for how many years, 25, 20? I mean.
This will be my 42nd year.
Jeez. Excuse me.
I
didn't know you
started
with Methuselah. Yeah.
He's in.
So, the last time I was over, it was at almost a peak, where everybody was catching 5,000, So the reason I'm talking about this, folks, is because it's almost the same thing with Mille Lacs Lake, where the perch were supposedly gone and all this stuff. So that's what they were pulling over there.
Exactly. Well, like I said, they mean well. I mean, but they're relying.
Yeah.
Somebody comes and says this. Okay, it's this. Where we've actually done our, way more than that. We've gone out. We've showed them. We actually got to show them film of everything. Here's what we've got going. Here's where they're at. You're going out. You're not going about this the correct way. You can't. It's just like going back to the same spot trying to catch fish all the time.
Which doesn't work. No.
So, once the fish are gone out of that spot, they're gone out of that spot. Now you got to go find another spot. Well, you keep going back to the same spot. It's telling you zero or not enough to worry about.
Well, this is wonderful that it was caught when it was, and you got organized as you did. And, we'll talk further on this down the line because it's kind of an interesting thing that is apropos to a lot of programs that are out there in a lot of states, that are neglected, we'll say.
Or, well, underestimated. A lot of it's out of ignorance, a lot of it's out of laziness, you know. I'm just going to, say it's this, right. You need this, you know, instead of me doing my checking on it.
Right. Well, tell us how was fishing? I mean, how was it last year? What was it like, and kind of what were your go-to presentations, and what was your most successful time of year? You know, kind of break it
down.
June
and July were great months, and last year was a big fish year all the way around.
Really?
There was a lot of big fish caught, like back in the early 80s and that stuff.
We had
numerous fish over 30, you know. Everybody used to come, we always caught a 30. Well, you didn't always catch a 30. Don't be lying to me, you know. You didn't always catch a 30. Don't be ridiculous.
Well, some people always there was catch a 30.
Like one of our small contests over there, which is a local contest, you know, the kids and everything get in.
Yep.
They pay down three places in each species. For the salmon, the first and second place were 31 and 30.
Wow.
I mean, that's just a small, you know, three-day tournament there.
Wow.
You know, they had a 22-pound rainbow brought in last year.
Wow,
I mean, that people have no idea how enormous that is. I mean, I've never seen one of my – the largest I've ever caught is a 17-pounder, and that was back in the 90s. And there's people that will never see a 22-pound rainbow. I mean, they've got no idea. The record, the Wisconsin record, is 26-something. I mean, but that is just – I mean, it's just so huge. It looks like a barracuda.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, we had a lot of big fish being caught.
It's fascinating.
It was so big, it couldn't even jump out of the water, folks.
I'll tell you what, realistic, if they don't realize, a lot of those big fish just don't get, they don't do a lot of jumping. The small acrobatic ones, the rainbows, the 8 to 10 pounders, boy, they'll go out of the water and sky like nobody's business. They'll get 6 feet on you in a heartbeat. We had them last year. I had a group out with me. Guy says, I just saw a fish jump. They're jumping. I said, look, like they're on a rod. They ain't jumping for joy. Just, you know,
somebody's
hooked up on a board somewhere.
Exactly.
You know, he said, I just saw one jump. That was kind of cool. Said, yeah, well, it's over here.
Yeah.
So, I love fishing rainbow. Rainbow are probably my favorite fish to fish, mainly because, like I said, they are just so nuts.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, if... You know, it's always fascinating, and you know, you had gotten a hold of me about the same time. I was thinking, you know, we got to get a hold of Fabian, you know, before the boat show or at least after, and get you on the show to talk about it, because Great Lakes fishing is, you know, we've got a friend of ours that calls in on the show, Mark over in Champlin, that he and his wife and his sons, you know, they're going to school up in Superior. And or Duluth, I should say, and you know he's been doing it and kind of quietly doing it by himself. But it's the closest thing. If people have not ever had an opportunity to Great Lakes fish open water, it's the closest thing you can get to offshore saltwater fishing.
Absolutely.
And you're running numbers, and the fish and the fish pull hard. The fights are phenomenal, and it's. There's a lot of room for everybody. It's an unbelievable deal that we just don't do enough of.
You know, down especially down in my area down there.
Yep.
They do not. We don't structure fish.
Yep.
We area fish.
Yep.
And that is the difference. I mean, when you're area fishing, unless somebody sees you start banging some and tries to get in there with you.
Yep.
I mean, there's so much room for everybody. It's not like we're all trying to get on a point.
Yep.
You know, we're all trying to get on this particular break. You know, everyone's just running around trying to find fish.
Yeah.
And they are such rovers.
Yep.
There's enough room for everybody if you don't get stupid.
And what are they keying in on bait or water temp?
Both. Bait and water temp are the structure. And that is the structure, bait and water temp.
Okay.
You know, but we've had a tremendous time. I mean, we had a good like I said, we had a great year last year for big fish. The fishing, we didn't get a million. We didn't get under a million. You know, we just caught fish when we went out all the time, so it was fun.
Mm.
You know, everybody had their chances to get after them.
Wow.
You know, now if somebody's never been out there before, of course, is there a a standard number, or you pick the city you're going to, I mean, how many different towns along the, between Milwaukee and up north, and how do you make reservations? Is there one or two numbers you can call and things like that?
Generally speaking, you can get on the internet. You're going to find what you want. The fishing normally starts in April, late April and early May, and it'll start down south. It'll start at Milwaukee, a little bit south of Milwaukee, Kenosha, in that area. Mm-hmm. And then it starts, generally speaking, it starts moving up the shoreline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's just a matter of, you know, water temp. They're following water temp and they're following bait.
Okay.
Last year, the big herd of cohos never made it up to Port Washington last year because the bait and water temp were right around Chicago.
Really?
So, I mean, they can't stay down there. They came north and that. I mean, we caught coho up there, but I'm talking a coho run. I'm talking you can go out and get, you know, 30 in like 3 hours. You know, you're going a mile a minute. That's coho run, not just catching some coho, you know.
Right.
I mean,
Wow. That's phenomenal. There's a lot of times that, you know, my mind is reeling because there were times, like Bolig said, you know, back in the early 80s, where a lot of us got an opportunity to go over, and you'd start in April and you'd start in Bailey's Harbor or wherever and work yourself up the coast as water would warm. And if you were lucky enough to keep going, you'd end up at Gill's Rock and Washington Island and those giant fish up there in the fall of the year.
Yeah, and that's where I actually cut my teeth in 78. I started fishing up at Gill's Rock. Gill's Rock was where I started. And I'll tell everybody right now, if you can fish the structure up at Gill's Rock, you can fish anywhere on that lake.
Is that
right?
Up at
Gill's Rock, you could go from, you know, 30 feet to 90 feet in a boat.
Yeah.
And you had to know where things were, especially when you're dragging your downriggers along, so you don't want to hang them up, et cetera, and that. But Gill's Rock has been a phenomenal place. Now, they still get monster, you know, and I tell people this all the time. Door County has big, big, big salmon. Mm-hmm. Why they are bigger than what we have down south, I have no idea. They don't have a particular strain of bait fish or anything else.
Yeah.
But Lord knows those fish up there are bigger. I fished up there. They ran bigger. It's just the way it was.
It's like Escanaba for smallmouth compared to Sturgeon Bay. They're huge in Sturgeon Bay, but Escanaba's got giants.
Yeah, and you know, and now you ask yourself, gee, what's different? You know, we're in the same type of water, et cetera.
Yeah.
What's different? I don't know what's different. You probably don't know what's different, but you know them fish are different.
And you go when you can.
Hold
on, Paul, and folks,
I
we're talking.
Why they're different.
Why are they different, Larry?
Because the salmon up there drink more beer than the ones down south.
Ah.
There you go.
All right, we're talking with Paul Fabian, and we're talking about Great Lakes fishing over in Lake Michigan and rainbows and Lakers and of course, salmon. And we're going to take a short pause and come right back. 763-450-0100 on the Mighty Bob Radio Network.
Bob Outdoors continues with Mark and Larry on Bear Facts and Fishtails next. Remember, your calls are welcome at 763-450-0100. That's 763-450-0100.
Crystal Welding in Maple Grove is your Hinneker snowplow dealer. Looking to get rid of that unwanted snow this year? Hinneker is the way to go. With their quick attach and flare top trip edge system, makes removing snow easy. Made in Minnesota, Hinneker plows are perfect for residential or commercial use. Have a Bobcat? No problem. Hinneker makes a plow for that too. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove also services all makes and models of plows and salt spreaders. Visit them online at crystalwelding.com.
Here's Bolig for Frankie's in Chisago City.
Frankie's in Chisago City, the number one Ranger boat dealer in the world. And I didn't talk to him today because I know he's busy dragging boats from St. Paul, but I bet he had a phenomenal show. If you're in the market for Ranger boats, whether they're aluminum or fiberglass, whether they're bass boats or walleye boats or even pontoons, he has to be number one for one reason or two reasons, or maybe three reasons. He's always there. He loves what he's doing, and he gives the best prices, and he has the best service. So when you're going to buy a boat that sells anywhere from $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, even $80,000, you may want to have that rigged professionally. And the boys in the back room, Joe and Bud, they're the head honchos back there, been doing it for many, many years, and they also fish out of these same type of boats all the time. They have an 8-stall service center up there to get you in and out in a hurry. And this is the best time of year to buy a boat as far as prices are concerned. Now, you got the sports show coming up. Well, you know, that's not until, I think it's like early April this year. Get it done now. The prices will be just as good today as they will be 5, 10, 20 days from now. So you have it in time. That's Frankie's in Chisago City, Minnesota. You can give them a call at 651-257-6334 or just drive up there or go online. Maybe you just need an outboard motor. It doesn't matter. He'll give you one of them. He'll sell you one of them with a good price also. That's frankies.net.
Here's an important ice fishing announcement from icefishmn.com. With all the bad weather, you can still go ice fishing in premium sleeper ice houses on good ice in the Brainerd Lakes area. Icefishmn.com has 2017 or newer ice houses available for rental right now. In addition, icefishmn.com is available to provide transportation to your premium ice house too. Reserve now at icefishmn.com. You can still ice fish in Minnesota with icefishmn.com.
Go, go, go!
Wait, wow, what's going on?
I just swiped a side of monkey bread from Godfather's Pizza.
You swiped something from Godfather's?
Oh, well, that would explain the gentleman in the pinstripe suit coming towards the car.
Hey, I see you took advantage of Godfather's side swipe, a free side item with purchase of a large pizza at a regular price. But you forgot one thing when you ran out.
Whoa, what's that?
Your change. Godfather's Pizza in Brooklyn Park, a pizza you can't refuse.
Now, more Bear Facts and Fishtails with Mark and Larry. Join in the show by calling 763-450-0100.
All righty, we're back. Bear Facts and Fishtails. Mark and Larry here on a beautiful sunny night. Glad you're along with us. And where is our guest tonight, Mr. Paul Fabian. Good buddy, good friend, good fisherman, and he can tell you more about Great Lakes fishing and than a lot of people have read about, I think, over the years. I mean, to think you've got 40-some years compiled over there chasing those salmonoids around. Wild.
It's been a while.
That's wild. Now, how large a vessel are you running, Paul, over there?
I'm running a 24-foot Crestliner, the old Sabres.
Yeah.
I'm running a 24-foot Crestliner.
Nice. And that's the beauty. I mean, tell us about the boat you started with over there.
Started with a 16-foot Lund. They used to call us up at Gill's Rock the Red Rowboats from Minnesota. We all had the Lund Pro Anglers with the 50s on the back that would go about 20 miles an hour.
Yep. You know? And you had go ahead.
You had the splash guards on the back, too.
Oh, yeah. You had the splash guards. Absolutely. Yeah. You had it all. They look at us and just go nuts. When we first started up there, we knew nothing. We went over there, you know, everyone had musky rods.
Oh, yeah.
Downriggers. You may have had two. You probably had two. Neither one of them matched.
Yep.
You know, and you ran two downriggers and you stacked your rods in each downrigger. And
yep.
When we hooked up with a fish, because we were using 6,500 Garcias and 5,500 Garcias,
as soon as
you hooked up with a fish, turn around. We were line stripped already.
Them.
You know,
yeah,
you're
exactly.
Running after the boat. We used to shut our boats off because we didn't know any better.
Yep.
We hooked up with a fish. We used to shut our boats off, and they go nuts up there, you know, because we're interfering with traffic and everything else. So, we didn't know. We shut it off, bought that fish, got it in there, started it up, let go.
Yep.
I mean, it's come such a long way. Right now, we've gone from, like I said, the standard was using two downriggers and you're stacked. We didn't use 50s up there. We didn't use boards. We didn't use anything. That was what we used.
Right.
You know, now we're down to, we got boards, we got lead, we got copper. We get, you know, weapons, everything. I mean, there's a million things used. And each year, you learn new tricks.
each year you learn new tricks. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of this. I mean, it's just never the same, you know. All of a sudden it's this, it's that, and everything else. I mean, that's what we did.
It's good for the tackle industry.
Well, it is.
It's good for the tackle. Let me tell you about that tackle industry. You bought everything by the fours. I don't care what it was. If this lure was hot, you bought four of them.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then
and
then next year you can't catch a fish on them.
Right.
You know, so now we got to find new magic lures. Each year there's a new magic lure out there. You know, Lord knows I got no idea how they do all this stuff, how they figure it out, but there's magic lures each year.
Does it still go from plugs, like, say, J-plugs? I mean, we're going way back to spoons, and then spoons on Dodgers and Dodgers with flies, and is it still mixing it up?
Well, it is mixing it up. Generally speaking, most of the charter boats will use flashers and flies.
Okay.
And, I mean, they use a big selection of them. And I could never figure out why they ran all of one or the other. Mm-hmm. Well, then it kind of dawned on me. These charter boats are running maybe 16 lines, we'll say.
Right.
Now they got these flashers and flies on all these lines. Different flashers, flies, but they're flasher and fly combo.
Yep.
Well, that looks like a herd of salmon. A flasher, when it's rotating in water, is made to look like a fish feeding.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's made to look like a fish that's feeding. And so now it looks like a frenzy. Now I got 16 people over. Look at that fish over there. They're over there, guys, you know, and that's what they do. They head on over there.
Right.
I mean, we use spoons. They still use spoons. They're big. Plugs we still use. Like I said, mainly flasher fly spoons right now. J-plugs at a particular time of the year, you know, I use them early, I use them late.
Yeah.
A lot of times I'll have one out there. But the biggest concept that's changed over is everything we're using right now, like lead core off of boards, copper off of boards, achieving all these different depths. And it's a stealth approach, you know, using 300 feet of copper, 300 feet of copper, generally speaking, gets you down around 70 feet, you know. So now you got 100 yards, you got a full football field out behind that board, and then that salmon hits and strips out a bunch more.
Paul, is that all flat line, right? Flatline trolling for the most part, or using boards and riggers?
Using boards, riggers, dipsies, everything.
Dipsies,
generally speaking, when I go out, I've got four down riggers, I've got two dipsies, and I got six boards.
Whoa. So
and
you're
what
fishing
I put on
different
the board, depend upon the time of year, whether I use a flat line on the board, I'm going for, you know, rainbows and that stuff, or the cohos, we use flat lines. If we're fishing for salmon and that, or even later on in the year, we start using leads and coppers, which sink down.
So does it still hold true? As folks, what you're doing is you're fishing different levels because the trout are usually higher. Excuse me. The rainbows are usually higher than, like, the Chinook. Does that still hold true?
Yes, it does. But that having been said, I caught a rainbow down 120 feet last year.
That was probably an 18-pounder.
I mean, tell me why this fish is down.
Yeah.
You know, we were catching them on the surface, and I always run a deep line, you know, for salmon or that. Here I picked up about a 12-pound rainbow down 120 feet.
He was in love with the salmon.
They come up, and you just shake your head. You got no idea.
Yeah, how does that
you know,
work?
What this fish is doing down there. But that's the reason you have to cover so much area. They run. So that's why the charters, you know, are the champ. Besides being on there every day, you know, and staying with the patterns in there, they run so many lines. They can run so many depths. You're always going to be in somebody's face.
True.
Well, how much does it cost for somebody who's never been over there to go out on a party boat of professional guys, besides going out with you, which you don't actually professionally guide, but you take a lot of people out there. But what does a regular charter boat captain charge a guy?
Anywhere between $500 and $600 for 5 hours.
Okay, so two guys would split it. Is that what we're saying?
Two guys run cheaper than that, but, I mean, if you're running six people, they'll take up to six people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have the six-pack license and that. They take up to six people.
Okay.
And that stuff. So, I mean, you're looking at, you know, basically by the time you're tipping about $100 a person.
Okay.
Well, that's pretty dang cheap.
Yep.
I'll tell you what, if you look at what these people have into the equipment that they have.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they have no idea. I'm telling you right now, there's millions of dollars worth of equipment on one boat. I mean, it's just everything, and everything's in doubles, triples.
Yeah.
My boat, I've got 29 rod and reel.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just my boat.
And when you have to make an adjustment, you got to make it fit or quick, and you pretty much got to anticipate before you ever get on the water.
Yeah, basically, and that's the truth. And then you got to be ready to dance once you're on the water, too.
Yeah,
you got to be able to adjust out there.
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden, your plan ain't working. You know, all of a sudden
change
they want
up.
This or want that. You got to get onto it right now.
It's wonderful. And the scenery is beautiful.
You got the sunrises and sunsets they get over here are phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah.
The color of the water is what struck me.
That's
color,
true.
Aqua, it's just you can't even describe the color. It's beautiful.
Tell you what, we have 300-foot bluffs up where we are at Port Washington. We have the bluffs all along there.
Mm.
And you get up in the bluffs and look out, you can see five different shades of water from that bluff.
It's cool. It is cool. You have to experience it sometime. You really do. I have a dear friend of mine whose father was running ill and had never done it before and always wanted to go saltwater fishing and made the suggestion, you know, you should try to go over there to Lake Michigan and go salmon fishing. And it was a hit. It was an absolute home run, one of the best things they ever did. And they just had a blast through the whole thing and caught them, too. You know, and that's, you know, going back in the heyday, you know, when things were
you know,
were
one cooking. One of the best trips I had was just before John Hesse died.
Yeah.
Todd and John came over there.
Did they?
We had the co-host and one of their other friends, one of the other guys that worked for him. There's three of them came over.
Yeah.
But we had the co-host going a mile a minute. And John was still, he was a little bit bad at that time, you know.
Yeah.
He couldn't handle a lot. He was driving a boat. He was just squealing like a little kid, laughing at all these fish coming in.
Oh, and he was a carnivore, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He could get. He took them all home.
John was quick. Love him dearly. He was quick to get out the sharpener and a fillet knife.
He was the first one of my friends that made the mistake of frying up some smallmouth bass.
Exactly.
When I said, what?
Well,
what
here.
What are you doing?
We'll tell the story. Remember when back years ago on Minnetonka, there was a tournament, guys were doing something special to catch them, and John went out before the tournament and caught all the fish off the beds and had the fish in his live well tied to the dock at Minnetonka Boat Works. He went in for lunch. And when he came back out, his live wells were empty, and you can imagine why.
There you go. Don't mess with us bass guys.
That was John.
Those were going to fall victim.
Nice.
No, we loved them dearly.
Once the skin's off, they taste good.
Exactly. Well, I think we were all three lucky enough to be buds with Hess. He was a great guy.
Oh, he was.
Put
he
a
was.
Smile on all of our faces, there's for sure. So, well, Paul, throw some information out, and then after the Minneapolis Boat Show, we would love to have you come back on and talk about how the program's developing and hear more about it, because it's fascinating.
Talk about it again.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, anybody that would like to contribute or join the WLBA, it's on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Wisconsin Lakeshore Business Association, but it goes under WLBA.
Okay.
You're on Facebook and that. You can buy a membership, get involved. They send out quarterly reports about what's being done and what we're doing.
Okay.
Everything and anything, and even if you don't want to become a member, if you want to throw a couple dollars that way, everything's appreciated. Those lobbyists cost a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, great, Paul. Thank you so much for being on the air with us, buddy. We appreciate it.
Not a problem. Talk to you later, guys.
We'll see you soon.
Good night,
Thank
Paul.
You. Take Bye care.
Now.
What a great guy.
We'll probably see him at the sports
show.
Oh,
we will. He'll be propped
once
up
a
in
year.
A corner over there with those guys, you know.
The only reason I go down there once a year, you meet a lot of old friends.
Oh, yeah. With that, we're going to run for a short pause. We're at the top of the hour. Bear Facts and Fishtails, Mark and Larry here on a beautiful Sunday night, inviting your phone calls at 763-450-0100. We'll be right back.
Bring the outdoors home with you. Mark and Larry have more Bear Facts and Fishtails for you. No filet house needed on Bob Outdoors.
Hey, it's Devin Worley.
It's G.B. Layton.
Hey, it's Jake Nelson.
It's time to buy your Minnesota Country Salute CD Volume 6. Homegrown artists raising money for the Minnesota Military Family Foundation and tribute to the troops. And you can help. Buy your copy at the Cub in Plymouth, Cambridge, Rogers, and other Cub select locations or online at mybobcountry.com.
Here's an important ice fishing announcement from IceFishMN.com. With all the bad weather, you can still go ice fishing in premium sleeper ice houses on good ice in the Brainerd Lakes area. IceFishMN.com has 2017 or newer ice houses available for rental right now. In addition, IceFishMN.com is available to provide transportation to your premium ice house too. Reserve now at IceFishMN.com. You can still ice fish in Minnesota with IceFishMN.com.
The start of a brand new year is a great time to make changes and improvements. So if you've got cracked teeth, missing teeth, or loose old wobbly dentures, then ImplantMiracle.com invites you to get a brand new smile and save a lot of money with beautiful, top-quality, long-lasting dental implants as low as $2,499 per tooth. Other places charge $4,000, $5,000, even $6,000 per tooth. But at ImplantMiracle.com, our price is as low as $24.99 per tooth. That's a great deal. Plus, we offer free consultations, free standard x-rays, and easy payment options to fit your budget. So as we begin a brand new year, do something nice for yourself by not overpaying for dental implants. Instead, come to ImplantMiracle.com, the local dental office where implants are very affordable. For more information, see our website, ImplantMiracle.com. That's ImplantMiracle.com.
This is a cow whose milk became everyone's favorite cheese at the craft fair. But cheese only lasts so long. The impression a small business makes needs to last much longer. And now Vistaprint is introducing free shipping on all business cards in any quantity. Choose from hundreds of fresh designs tailored to your type of company. Or upload your own. The choice is yours. The time is now. For a limited time only, get free shipping on all business cards in any quantity with promo code 7000. That's promo code 7000 at Vistaprint.com. Vistaprint. Own the now.
You're in charge of hiring, and Indeed has solutions, like online skills tests, which let a candidate show that they're the right hire. And we give you this magic music, which will inspire the perfect hire to begin clog dancing. Okay, there's no magic music, but skills tests, that's a for sure.
See why independent research by Silk Road shows Indeed delivers 3 times more hires than any other job site. Post your next job at Indeed.com/hire and try skills tests for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Crystal Welding in Maple Grove is your Hinneker snow plow dealer. Looking to get rid of that unwanted snow this year? Hinneker is the way to go. With their quick attach and flare top trip edge system, makes removing snow easy. Made in Minnesota, Hinneker plows are perfect for residential or commercial use. Have a bobcat? No problem. Hinneker makes a plow for that too. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove also services all makes and models of plows and salt spreaders. Visit them online at crystalwelding.com.